beginning chapter number 3, he is the same today as he was back then. Though he ain't among us in bodily form, he is with us. You can mark that down. And we're thankful for his ministry. We're thankful for his power. We're thankful for the things that he is and the things that he does for us in our lives. And so this morning we come to Mark chapter number 3. And let's stand together for just a moment, Mark chapter number 3, and let's begin in verse number 1. Been fine with me if we just broke out in testimony service. What I'm about to preach, it don't really fit with what just happened here the last 10 minutes, but that'll be okay. It does fit with Sunday school. It is amazing how dangerously close Brother Tim got on what I'm preaching today. In fact, he read some verses that overlap with what we're going to read this morning. The Bible said in verse number 1, and he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand. They watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Literally, what he's saying to that man with the withered hand is everybody is sitting around in that synagogue. As and you study the phrase there, it literally means to stand in the middle of, become the center of what is going on. The Bible said, and he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, on the life, or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked round about them with anger. We've got a Savior that is angry. In a world that's running around and religion that is running around in our day that is screaming out, God is love, God is acceptance, God is tolerance, and as if God is never moved to anger. The Word of God said that in this particular occasion, he looked round about on them with anger. The Bible said the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. Is God love? You better believe he is. The Word of God is clear. God is love. And we love him because he first loved us. But he is a holy God, and a holy God that not only loves in a perfect way, but a holy God that is angry in a perfect way. When he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Verse 7 said, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples. A great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did. To today, we do humbly bow to pray and ask, Lord, by his blood, that you'd hear our prayer this morning. Fathers, you've settled in here around us and among us this morning. Lord, what a blessing it is to hear the saints of God excited about their Lord and their God and their Savior. Lord, these things have bore witness in our heart, Lord, that you are still in the saving business for the church and the people of God. Lord, I pray this morning these things for others on days gone by. May, Lord, it be a reality in others' hearts this morning. Lord, I pray you'd call the sinner to repentance and, Lord, deal with them on where they are. Lord, may today be the glorious day of their salvation. Revive us, the saints of liberty, this morning as it's preached. Lord, it ain't the church down the road, and Lord, it ain't the Christian across the aisle, Lord, this morning that needs help. Lord, it's me, it's us. Lord, it's we together, Lord, that stand in need of a touch from God. This morning, Lord, we not shovel anything to somebody else, but Lord, may we listen this morning intently and personally, and Lord, would you do a real work, Lord, in our heart and in our life, and for all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. He preached the word of God unto them. He cast out the devils out of a man that was possessed. And at the end of that synagogue service, they were left astounded, amazed, their minds blown at the authority and the power and the miracle that Jesus Christ had performed in their, if you'll allow me to use this term, church service they were in. And what a service that was. And we studied that account, we believe, according to chapter number 2 and in verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. Then he left after that initial synagogue service, Sabbath service, and done some miracles. He now has come back to Capernaum. All of chapter number 2 seems to be dealing with that very scene and that very setting. Now he's come back and entered into the synagogue. Again, this same place he has visited, this same place he has done a great work in chapter number 1. He now has come back here, and we've read the text today. What another great message and another great miracle that the Lord does again in this place. And so when we think about that, I'm thankful today the Lord does it. Amen, just pay us one visit, but amen, I love how the Word of God said it, and he entered again into the synagogue. He's come again, and he's got something else to say, and he has something else to do, and they need to hear it, and they need to see it, and they need to experience what the Lord is going to do for them again. And we find in this text, as we've been studying Mark, that this here is Mark's fifth back-to-back reference of an encounter that Christ, our Savior, has with the Pharisees. It began in the house in Capernaum in the beginning of chapter number 2. And the healing of the palsy man went down through the roof with the Lord said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they took issue with the Lord over having extended forgiveness to this man for his sin. And they made a scandal out of that whole issue. Amen. The scandal and the issue they made over the fact that he would sit at the same table with publicans and sinners after the conversion of Levi. Amen. And all that represented, they were saying, if this man knew what kind of individuals these are that he's sitting with, amen, he wouldn't be at this table. But, amen, the Lord spake to them and encountered them and tried to give truth to them, to lead them out of the error of their thinking. We find the matter and the scandal about fasting it. And how then the Pharisees wondered why, amen, their disciples and John the Baptist disciples had fasted, but Christ's disciples didn't fast. Jesus said they can't fast so long as the bridegroom's with them. Amen. There'll come a day and a time they'll fast. Amen. And he immediately attacked their religiosity by saying it's not the outward form of religion that matters anyway. Amen. You don't put new wine into old bottles. And you don't take patches off a new garment and sew them into an old cloth. Amen. And he's dealing with the newness and the reality of a true relationship with the Lord Jesus. And again, trying to patiently and mercifully and graciously lead that crowd of Pharisees into, amen, the light of truth that he had come to bring. And then the fourth encounter we studied on last Sunday, And I'm not sure, it felt like it was a weak attempt, but amen, several said the Lord helped them and shed some light, amen, on the subject of the Lord of the Sabbath. There's a scandal about the Sabbath day and the disciples of the Lord eating corn and walking it. And the Lord basically says to them, amen, this was not given for you to institute a bunch of your own rules and regulations and ways about keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given, amen, and was made for man. And immediately takes them to the fact of the matter that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one that men indeed will find rest for their souls. And I find the Lord has, in the previous four encounters leading into our text, that the Lord has been very patiently yet firmly, amen, trying to reason with the Pharisees and lead them up into the truth and the gospel that He has come that they might have life. And on this fifth, we'll call it showdown. Amen. The fifth showdown with these Pharisees, they have resisted every bit of truth that Christ has spoken and shown. They have resisted the message that He has come to bring. And now they are going to encounter Him in this synagogue service. Amen. They're watching Him. They're seeking to accuse Him. And Christ, knowing what was in their thought and in their heart, Brother Maurice began to bring the encounter back to them. Amen. He calls upon this man with the withered hand to stand. And he is going to use this man to illustrate some very, very important truth. I was going to preach, and I preached this message in the past. I was going to, and I'm not trying to do it in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, my prayer has been, Lord, I want to preach fresh. Give me something fresh. But, hey man, I preach a message on the man with the withered hand. And we use the man with the withered hand and center the story around him. But the last several days, Brother Riley, hey man, I just, on this, and I don't think that the man with the withered hand is the central figure to this story. I think it is the Savior. Now, when we read about this encounter, amen, the Word of God in verse number 5 said five times now in a row, and the Bible said, and he begins to be grieved with them. Now the word grieved, and I'll give you my thought in a moment, the word grieved, it means to be afflicted for another. It means to have or to extend or express sorrow at something. It literally has the idea to distress or to be sad. And this was expressed in a place and toward a place and a group of people, amen, in a synagogue which had been dedicated, amen, as a place of worship to God. Amen, it should have been worship going on. There should have been the Word of God being told and expressed, and the presence of the Lord inhabiting the place, and a place that was spiritually successful and important and vital to this people, but they had reduced into a form of religion. And now the Lord is looking around there. Amen. There's no word. There's no worship. There's no expression of gladness and rejoicing. There's no movement. There's no manifest power of God that is going on. And the Bible said at this synagogue, the Lord was being grieved. I'm going to preach for a moment if the Lord will help me on this thought. And I told you it don't really go with, amen, the spirit of, amen, the testimonies and all of that. And that don't mean this ain't in order. That was out of order. Amen. It's always right to praise the Lord. Amen. I've been here long enough. Y'all know I ain't going to pump it up and prime it up. I'll Amen. If God tells me preach, I'm going to preach. But here's the thought that I want to preach on for just a moment. The Lord being our helper, the kind of church that grieves the Savior. The kind of church that grieves the Savior. You may want to reach over there and feel around, see if you're in a seat that has a seat belt on it. Amen. And buckle yourself in, strap in real good. Amen. It amazes me that, amen, of all the places the Lord could have been grieved, all the places in the community that He could have been made sad and sorrowful at, and no doubt at times was, that it was in this particular synagogue, a place that in previous days gone by, amen, there was amazement and there was astonishment, and there was revival seemingly breaking out, and they had been reduced in two chapters to being a place. And the Bible said the Savior being grieved, amen, over the condition that they had reached. Amen, it seems that revival fires had flickered out. It seems like the amazement has been tight. It seems like what has astounded them in chapter number one, amen, now has grown casual to them again. And the Savior's looking around, He's staring at all of that crowd. Brother Gerald, He now, the Word of God said, is being grieved in His heart over, amen, the condition of that synagogue. Today we're privileged to, amen, enter in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. I'm thankful today for, amen, this place and what it represents and everything God has ever done for me and God has ever spoken to me. Amen. I'm well aware that, amen, we're entered into a great church this morning. I believe that. Amen. I believe that so much. My family is here and I am here. Amen. Not just cause I'm the pastor, but, amen, I'm truly thankful for this place. Now, I want to say dogmatically today, I'm not preaching about the church down the road. I'm not preaching about the church across town. Amen. I'm not preaching about other churches I've preached in. Amen. This morning, I want us to listen and sit up, pay attention now. Amen. Because I don't ever want to be a church. Amen. I don't ever want to be a part of a church that, amen, Christ would come down it. Amen. Walk through this place and not be able to move, but rather be grieved over the condition that we have reached. Preacher, does the Lord ever get grieved with His church? Amen. I believe the message is there to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Amen. We find the Lord, amen, had many grievances with each of them churches. Amen. It is possible that, amen, we can reach a state that, amen, the Savior can no longer speak, amen, or no longer speak effectively, that, amen, the power of God would be, amen, diminished, and ultimately, as we'll see in the text, amen, sent on down the road to somebody else, said, amen, I need God's Word. I need a place I can go where the Lord has liberty, where, amen, He's not grieved, He's not quenched, and He feels the liberty to move in my hard life and family. Amen, and the truth of the matter is you need a place to come as well. Amen. The kind of church that grieves the Savior. And so let me give you just how the Lord, amen, has put it together in my heart. Amen. And this is coming hot and fresh right out the oven. Amen. Number one, consider the grounds for His grief. The grounds, Jesus, and I want you to get a hold of this morning, Jesus was the most loving and patient man to have ever lived. When we read His life, and studied and preached from it as we've been doing these last several months now in Mark 1 and Mark 2. Amen. Oh yes, he's firm, but one thing has stood off the page at me. How patient the Lord is with sinners. How patient he is with those that come into contact with him. How much love and how loving he is. Amen. To be patient and kind and gracious. Amen. There was nobody that has ever lived and has been more loving and patient than the Lord. The fact that he is angry and the fact that he has gotten grieved is not a testimony that our Savior has a short fuse. He has a long fuse. He's been putting up with a lot of junk, amen, just through Mark chapter number 2. He's not easily offended. Hey, he's not easily ticked off. Amen. But all we've had, amen, after all the love that he had manifested and the patience that he had given, listen, there are things in these verses that show us what causes him to be grieved with even his own church. Don't mistake the patience and the love of the Savior in your life for His acceptance of what you become. And that's a message that better be preached in this day. There's no one more loving and kind and patient. Buddy, I'm telling you, the fact that the Bible said he was great, amen, shows me that there must be some things that cause him who become grieved in his heart. They're the grounds for his grief. Amen. Tighten that seatbelt up now. Amen. Number one, what is the cause? What are the grounds for his grief? Let me say, according to verse number 2, that they were a critical people. The Bible said, and they watched him. They watched him. He enters into the synagogue and the Bible said, hey, watched him. You say, oh, preacher, that's wonderful. Amen. We all need to get our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And I would agree with that this morning. Amen. We ought to get our eyes on him. Amen. We ought to follow his lead. And the Bible said they watched him. It does not mean that they watched him that they might follow him. It doesn't mean they watched him that they may, amen, follow his example. It means that they watched him with an eye of scrutiny. In fact, the word watch means to inspect alongside. Amen. I'm talking about the Pharisees. They put Jesus alongside of themselves and began to measure the Savior according to their own standard. Amen. Amen. I told y'all it don't fit. Amen. It means to note insidiously or scrupulously. In other words, they are watching with a critical eye. They're watching. In fact, the text even indicates that they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. And we gave you some of the laws that they had added to the Word of God about the Sabbath day. Amen. And oh, how crazy. Amen. The laws that they had and the contradictions even in their laws that they had about the Sabbath day. The Lord had already dealt with them about the Sabbath day. He already told them what God had said about the Sabbath day. And now they're still measuring the Lord and inspecting Him to say if He's going to measure up with them about their life on the Sabbath day. Watching, inspecting alongside. The Bible said that the purpose in this watching was that they might accuse him. In other words, they're not looking for what's right in the Savior. And by the way, all you'll ever find in the Savior is right. They were looking so as to try to find a wrong.
Amen.
The word accuse, or literally the phrase that they might accuse him of. Brother Mike, it means this. Brother Tim, you'll get a kick out of this. Amen. How many of y'all was in Sunday school this morning? You know what the word accuse literally means? To be a plaintiff. Amen. To be a plaintiff. Amen. It means this. Amen. To charge with some offense. In other words, hey, they've got this critical attitude toward the Savior. It's been building over four other encounters, and they've not yet yielded to His truth and His life and the purpose for which in His cup. And now they go to church, the Son of God is there, and the Savior begins to be grieved because He senses they are a critical people. Let me make this statement this morning. Boy, I can tell this is going over good. Amen. Amen. Y'all are shouting so loud I can't even hear myself think. Amen. Amen. There is no room for critical spirits in the house of God. Fact of the matter is, there was no offense in the Savior. There was no crime that He was going to commit. There was no transgression He was even capable of. And yet this crowd was still going to be critical enough to try to find it. And here's the truth of the matter today. You have come into a church of people that are flawed by the way, just like you are. Sinners just like you are. People that don't have it all nailed down and together just like you don't. And in a church, there is the... Amen. Boy, I'm losing my voice. Y'all pray for me now. There is in the church, amen, this temptation in times, amen, to bring others alongside of us and measure them according to our own standard. Can I say today, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about lowering the standard. I'm not talking about lowering. I'm not talking about throwing the word of God out the window. I'm just talking about, dear God, that's all. Realize we ain't perfect. There's no need to have a critical attitude and a spirit toward others maybe who don't measure up. Brother Tim said it right. I'm in the house of God. Come to worship the Lord. Come to sing His songs. Amen. Come to get in. Amen. Don't walk in here milking your chin. And you may even be right. There may be somebody who's got an issue there. There may be somebody who needs to step it up. Amen. But there are two that can fix that. Amen. That is the pastor and the master. Amen. And if your name ain't Jesus or Jeff Ledbetter, amen, Liz said, you ain't one of the two. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. They were a critical church. They were a critical group of people. Amen. And a critical people will always grieve the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. They were a callous people. The Bible said in verse number 5, amen, literally and plainly identifying the heart of the matter was the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. Amen. One preacher put it this way. There is a man with a withered hand in this church. There's an entire congregation with a withered heart. Amen. If I got to have one issue or the other, I'll take the withered hand over a withered heart any day of the week. Amen. How we doing? They were a callous people. Hardness literally means, if you look it up, callousness. It means to petrify. And something is petrified. It goes from a pliable state, amen, through overtime, amen, and through the elements that are in the world, amen, being covered up, amen, that which one time was pliable becomes as it were stone. Can I say this morning that as we've come in the house of God. Dear God, help us to be pliable. Help us, my friend, to be easily bent in the direction, amen, that God would have for us to go. Amen. The particular hardness that I think Christ is identifying in this text, Brother Joe, is this. Amen. Here is a man in their midst with a withered hand. And the Savior, the only one that can do something to help this boy who has become, amen, withered and lacking in strength and lacking in all that a withered right hand speaks of, Jesus is the only one that can do anything for him.
Amen.
And they're watching because they do not realize, amen, that the need of this man is greater than any man-made rule that they've come up with. Jesus said that is hardness of heart to not be moved by somebody else's condition. To be so hardened that you would rather them do without getting help from the Lord. You would rather them do without getting a miracle. And then, amen, then your little religiosity to be upset. And the way you think that it's got to be done. Hey, let me serve all of us a record today. Amen. God don't have to and hardly ever does things the way we think He ought to do it. You ain't going to put God in the box.
Right.
Amen. And this callousness seems to be over the matter of the fact, amen, that they are hardened to the needs that this man really has, and that the Lord don't care if it's a Sabbath or if it's Thursday or if it's Monday. He don't care. He knows He can help this feller.
Amen.
Amen. In Matthew chapter number 12, Tim picked up on in our text when we read verses 7 and 8. In Matthew chapter number 12, I think he began in verse 13 or 14. Amen. It's the same verses parallel to our text. And so if you back up Matthew 12, verse 11 and 12, Matthew gives some other things the Lord said, amen, outside of what Mark recorded. You know what the Lord told them, and that Matthew said the Lord told them? He said, let me ask y'all something. Which one of y'all got a sheep that winds up in danger on the Sabbath day? Don't go out and get your sheep. Your livestock. That you've been invested in. That you've raised. He said, if you got a sheep, you'll go out there and get it. You'll excuse yourself. You'll make a loophole for yourself. Amen. To go out there and get your sheep. Here is a man, a live human being that has a need, and you think, I'm going to value your sheep over this soul that has a need that only I can do something about. You know where callousness comes in? Callousness is created, amen, by our own selfishness. Amen. When people get callous, they start making loopholes in their religion. Amen. Amen. Oh, ain't we about to have a time? It does get better, Brother A.L. There is some shouting ground in this message. Amen. But I guess we're going to have pouting ground first. Amen. Callousness. They became a callous people. Amen. Where they are more interested in themselves than they are others. They're more interested in their religiosity than they are miracles in the lives of others. They have become hardened in their heart and it grieved the Savior. It's amazing how callous we've become. Never moved about sinners' needs. Amen. Never interested in reaching out to those that are in need. We've always got something else to do. We've always got somewhere else to give our money. Amen. What is that? It's a callousness Amen. That the Word of God is teaching us is something that grieves the Savior. We say number three, and we'll move on a little better ground. If the Lord will help us, I can tell y'all are enjoying this. The Bible said, and He saith unto them, verse 4, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Notice what the Word of God said, but they held their peace. Now, that may have been the best thing they could have done if they weren't going to change. The Lord just gave them a mouthful. He gave them an earful. He gave them a heartful. Amen. He threw them questions spiritually, laid His finger upon their heart, and is asking of them a question intended to change the way they think. Now, I want to say this morning, but they held their peace was not the best response they could have given. It indicates that they were a changeless people. They'd rather sit there like dumb people who couldn't talk, amen, having been muted, having been brought to silence, rather than to say, that is exactly right, Master. You are right and we are wrong, and we will change the way we're viewing this thing. You know what grieves the heart of our Savior? What kind of church grieves the heart of our Savior? Amen. It's when we get to the place where we have no changes being made in our life. You come in week after week after week. Some of y'all literally sit there in silence. You never respond. You never do business with God. You never make a move to get right with God. There's, amen, I'm not being mean now. I've been around here 8.5 years long enough, amen, to kind of observe that, amen, friend, there are some that have reached a state of spirituality that they ain't going to change. Changeless people grieve the heart of our Savior.
Amen.
Unresponsive. Is that what they're doing? They're unresponsive. He's looking round. They can tell He's angry. They can tell He's just asked a question that and has shed light on the fact they need to make a change. Here's what they done. Buddy, I'm telling you, changeless people grieve the heart of our Lord. When's the last time you let any changes be made in your life? When's the last time you come in and you didn't have it all nailed down? You wasn't looking at everybody else. Amen. The ones that was your buddies and the ones that was your enemies and the ones that's done you right and the ones that's done you wrong. Amen. I don't come here today, amen, to leave the same way that I came in. Amen. I came today needing the Lord to shed some light on my life and show me where I need to change. You know what preaching does? Shines a light on how wrong we are, whether it's our action or our attitude, whether it's about our behavior or our bitterness, whether it's about our spirit or about our service. And my friend, preaching is designed, amen, to sit us down and make us examine our life where we need to change. When we become unresponsive, the Lord begins to be grieved. They held their peace. They were hushed. They were muted. They were silenced. It indicates that they were backed into a corner. Got to the place where the Lord had them hemmed up so that they could not argue against the truth, but were at the same time unwilling to admit it and to change where He had put His finger on. How many of y'all know about the Lord backing you in a corner? Oh, I'm a preaching good this morning. I feel the Lord's in this message now. It's going to get better in a minute, but amen, and I need to be winding down, but I feel like I'm just getting cranked up. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all know what it's like to get backed into a corner? That preacher begins to preach and you go, well, I'm okay. I'll just kind of slide over here. Next thing you know, he's pushing on you. Amen. And that, amen, the Spirit of God, use that man of God back you in a corner where you're going. Some of y'all despise that. You ought to fall on your knees and thank God that He knows how to back us in a corner. He knows how to kick the props out. He knows how to remove the excuses where all we can do is say, amen, either sit there in silence unchanged or say, yes, Lord, you're right, you're right, you're right. I'll make some changes.
Amen.
When's the last time you've done that? Say, oh, preacher, he dealt with me about something a long time ago and I told him no over. Well, could that be why you can't enjoy church? Could that be why you've got the Savior grieved in your life? Could that be why, hey man, there's no worship, there's no joy. You can't testify. You got no soul. Amen. The Word of God doesn't impact you. Amen. Dear God, would that. Amen. We would humble ourselves and say, amen, the Lord is right and I am wrong. And hey, we'll gladly bow on my knee and get right and make some changes. Amen. Ain't this good preaching? Well, we see the grounds for his grief. Amen. I got to finish this now. Notice the grace in his grief. You say, preacher, the way you just got done preaching the last 30 minutes, it don't sound like there's any grace in this text. I want to show you three areas that the Lord was giving them grace right in the midst of his grief. In fact, I think you'll see that the very fact, Bobby, that he was grieved is actually a manifestation of his grace. Amen. Number one, amen. There's grace in the Word. You see, my friend, he knew that they were watching him. He knew in verse number 2 that they were looking for some sort of accusation. Amen. By the way, that to the title that is given to Satan as being the accuser of the brethren. In other words, people with a critical spirit, they are doing the work of our adversary, the devil. Amen. I know I'm backing up and I'm trying to get to grace. Y'all can tell I struggle with that. Critical spirit is not a spiritual gift. There is a difference in spiritual discernment and a spirit of criticism. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord knows what they're up to. The Lord knows what they're looking for. You know what the Lord did? Before he ever got angry, before he ever looked on them with those fiery eyes of judgment being passed upon them, you know what he did? He gave them another word to get right. Amen. You know what I'm thankful for? Amen. That when we are crossed up, amen, when we're critical and we're callous and we've been changeless and resisted of the changes the Lord is trying to make in our life, ain't you glad that there's grace that sends another word? Amen. He asks them and preaches another sermon to them. Amen. Is it right to do? Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? Amen. Is it right to save life or to kill? What is he doing? He's giving them a word of grace. And I say the dearest friend we have when we began to be out of sorts and headed down a path of grieving the Savior, the greatest friend you have in all your spiritual life is a man of God filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in his hand and to preach to you where you are. Amen. What do you call that preacher? That is called grace.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. People label your pastor, he's mean. Amen. I've heard what they say. He's intolerant. Amen. And really, if you know me, nothing could be further from the truth. Really, what their problem is, they don't like the grace that God brings by way of a word to straighten their life out. Amen. Amen. He spoke another word to them. What grace? Oh, you got to see this. Verse number 5. There was grace not only in the word, but there was grace in the withholding. Look with me in verse number 5. And when he had looked round about them with anger. Y'all see that? Ain't that what your King James Bible said? With anger. You say, preacher, anger, I thought anger was a sin. Amen. Anger is not a sin. Anger expressed by the power of the flesh is sin. Jesus is exercising a holy anger. In fact, the word that is used here for anger, it means violent passion, ire, or abhorrence. The desire to bring punishment that is deserved. They deserve. You know what the Bible said? He looked on them as though they deserved punishment. Can I be honest with you? Now, I hope y'all will be honest with me. Can I be honest with you? I have been the critical one. I have been the callous one. And I have been the changeless one. And I ain't talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about, hey man, I still struggle with that in my life to this very day. You know what that deserves? You know what you deserve? Y'all ain't gonna like this. You know what you deserve, young man? In your suit and your tie and your good boots on and sing. Amen. Sing like your mama taught you to sing today. Amen. And sing to the Lord. You know what you deserve and I deserve? Punishment.
Amen.
The Bible said he looked round about them with anger. Watch it now. Being grieved. Whoa, hallelujah. You see, that word grieved takes on a whole new meaning. We get what we deserve. His grief is what steps in and in sadness, in distress, and in a broken heart, he weeps over the condition we're in. And it is that grief that becomes grace, amen, that keeps us from getting the flames of hell.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It is the grace, not only in the word, but the grace in the withholding. Amen. He's going, oh, you deserve me to call fire down on you.
Right.
He looks at him. He's probably thinking, amen, you deserve what Moses did. That crowd in the Old Testament. You deserve a line drawn in me to lift up my hands and open the ground in that hell, swallow you alive. Amen. Don't ever forget that's what we deserve. Thank God his grief, amen, is the manifestation of his grace. Amen. That we don't get what we deserve. Somebody said, God ain't fair. God ain't fair. You better thank God he ain't fair. Amen. If he was fair and we got what we deserve, you wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
There is grace in the withholding.
Yes, sir.
There are some that think, well, God ain't judged me yet. He must be fine with what I'm doing. Amen. That's a very, very foolish way to measure your spiritual life. Amen. I'm trying to figure out what we need to do. I feel like God is sitting in on this place. Talk about grace in the withholding. Amen. It is of, Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Oh, my friend, don't you ever forget Amen. You want to talk about what to knock the critical stuffing out of us? You want to talk about something that ought to tender an old hard, ashy, cold heart? Amen. You talk about something that ought to motivate and inspire us. I want to change for the glory of God. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Why in the world would I want to be critical to anybody? Why in the world would I want to be hard-hearted? Why in the world would I want to go unchanged and resisted of what God wants to do in my life? It is she that can only be said, it is of His mercies we're not consumed.
Amen.
Every day you get up and God don't give you the dreaded judgment all of us deserve, you ought to fall on your face and say, you ought to walk into every service with a testimony on your lips, the joy of the Lord in your heart, your Bible in your hand, saying, I can't wait to hear what God has to give me out of this today. Amen. It ought to send revival to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. And we think about, oh, I know we think we're the best areas in town. Amen. Can I say today, amen, I'm done thinking about that. I'm done trying to measure ourselves to everybody else. Amen. Even if that was true, we still deserve punishment.
Amen.
I don't mean to upset any of us today, but look around. If we're the cream of the crop, I'm just going to be honest, and we can talk about crossroads, and we can talk about Hilltop, and we can talk about Stokely. He said, amen, we can call every other church's name out in town. Amen, but just look around today. If we're the cream of the crop, God ain't got very much. Somebody say amen now. Amen. You say, oh, you don't think Calvary's... I didn't say that. I'm just talking about dear God. Amen. And we don't need to grieve the Lord. The Lord will move where He wants to move. He'll do what He does where He longs to do it. I just don't want to have Him grieved if He wants to do something here.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody help me now. Grace in the Word. Grace in the withholding. You do realize that our doors are only still open by the grace of God. The lights are still burning. The bills are still being paid. Amen. You do realize that, don't you? Amen. You do realize when you walked in here today, amen, the fact that the doors were unlocked and the lights were on, that, amen, there was still a sign about to have a spell. Amen. You do realize, amen, you walked in through them doors. And if there's one testimony today, it is that God has been gracious to us. He's been gracious to us. What? Hey, man, why? What's He give you? I ain't even on what He's give us. I'm just talking about what He's not give to us. Grace. Hey, man. Glory to God. Amen. All this is coming fresh as it can be, Brother Tim. Amen. Grace in the withholding. Then there's grace in the wonder. Say, preacher, we read that story and he wound up doing a miracle in front of that crowd that was critical and callous and changeless. Well, here's what I'll tell you that is. Grace. I'm glad we don't serve a Savior. And I want to go on record. You need to listen to me now because you've been listening so good this morning. I don't want to give you the wrong idea. I'm glad that we have a Savior. He don't wait till we get it all nailed down. He don't wait, my friend, and we're a perfect church. Amen. He knows where we're flawed and He knows where we need to step it up. He knows, my friend, where we need revival. He knows the families that are barely making it back. He knows the men that are weakened in their strength. He knows the women that, my friend, are doing all they can to get back. I didn't say they got it all together and God did a miracle. God did a wonder in the midst of somebody He was even grieved with.
Amen.
All you can say is, and I don't think we'll have any trouble seeing this, Amen. I done quit looking at my watch. Last time I looked, it was about 5 minutes to 12. So, amen, I figure I done went over anyway. It don't matter if I go over, amen, 5 minutes or if I go over 3 more hours. The way I feel, it's looking more like 3 hours. Amen. Can I say this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you realize God in grace lets things get done? If we see any wonders and miracles and blessings and answers to prayer here, now I want to be careful because there is a flip side to this coin. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But I want to make a statement today: on your best day, you ain't got it all nailed down. God sometimes does things, amen, in His church that He's even grieved with, I think is some way to shake us. Say, I've got grace to help you. Amen. He's not doing this miracle so they can leave and say, well, we must be fine. He showed up and He did a wonder today. No, He's doing wonders. Here's what the Word of God says. Brother Larry, here's how the Lord had Paul pin it down. It is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth men to repentance. You know why God's good to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle? To keep the stuffing knocked out of us. Keep that big head humbled down. To keep that heart tender toward God. Oh, to break up the fallow ground that we would say, I can't believe after the way I live this week, He'd do anything around here today. The grace. Amen. I got 2 more main points, but I got no sub-points under them, so hang with me. We see the grounds and the grace. Notice the gesture to His grief. The Lord is grieved. I see as He looks around and His anger is stirred, the grief and the grace in that grief brings a tear to His eye. I believe He weeps over this man and his condition. I believe He weeps over the synagogue and the sanctuary and this service. And the Pharisees seen a Savior with a broken heart. They knew. Do you know the gesture they done to that grief? The Bible said in verse 6, the Pharisees went forth. Straightway took counsel with the Herodians against Him, how they might destroy Him. Ain't that a lovely way to treat somebody who loved them enough to tell them the truth, who has been so kind and patient time and encounter after encounter to bring them to this place of decision? You know what they did? They said, we don't care what He does. We don't care what He says. We don't care what we're doing to Him. We ain't changing. They walked out trying to find from that day forward, for the next 3 years, they're going to try to find a way until 3 years later they can finally nail Him to an old rugged cross and take His life from the face of the earth. Ain't that a good way to treat the one who had loved them? So, preacher, that's terrible. Don't get mad at me. I've been doing this not as long as Brother Joe. He's been doing it a whole lot longer. He'll probably testify to this. As sad and as awful and as clear as that is, we go, man, what in the world were they thinking? People do it all the time. Brother Joe, would you agree they're still doing it to this day? Their church is still saying, don't care what He says, don't care what He thinks, don't care what we're doing to His heart. And they walk out unchanged, unmoved, unaffected. Amen. Notice the gathering after His grief. The Bible said in verse 7, but Jesus withdrew Himself. You keep messing around with the Lord. Listen, there'll come a time, he'll say, and Brother Tim said it this morning, you reach a point in your life where you won't deal with that critical spirit, you won't deal with that callous heart, and you won't deal with that changeless life. You know what the Lord will do? You can say no for the last time. There are a lot of churches that have put Jesus on the outside. He has withdrew himself. He's no longer the preeminent thing in the head and the front of the church. He's been placed outside and he's on the door knocking, saying, if any man will open to me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. We've reached a Laodicean age where the Lord has withdrew himself from his people. But he just went on down the road. He went on down the road and the Bible said, I love this, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. There's some said, if he's out of here, we're out of here. Said, if he ain't welcome here, we don't want to be around this God-forsaken outfit. They followed him. The Bible said, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. You know what he did? When that crowd said, We don't want him. We don't care what he says. We don't care what he does. We don't care how we're affecting him. And they sought to destroy him. He not only withdraws himself from them, but he presents himself to anybody else that is willing to come to him. I don't know what any other church in town, I don't know where they stand spiritually. Amen. I've heard what other people have told me about where they stand spiritually. I don't know, and most of the people trying to tell me probably don't know. I ain't got time to worry about that. Here's my challenge, and I know that I've gone long today. I know longer even than usual. Some of y'all say, boy, it feels like 3 hours. It ain't been 3 hours. It's been an hour right now. Just feels that way. Here's my challenge to our church today. Let's be the crowd that says we're following him. We're following him. And if nobody else in town wants to change and get rid of the things that are in their spirit and deal with the callousness of their heart and they want to grieve him to the point that he withdraws, let's be the church he can find a place where he's welcome. How about your family be the family where he's welcomed? How about your individual life be the life where he is welcomed? The kind of church that grieves the Savior. Y'all believe that's a pretty good message, ain't it? Amen. I woke up this morning intending on preaching on the man with the withered hand. I just going to preach and magnify it. This morning at about 7:30, the Lord said, I don't want you to preach that. I want you to take what I've been having you think on the last couple of days. Sit down. But Tim, I don't normally preach this way. Normally I've studied all week long and I got that thing all late this morning about 8 o'clock. I sat down at my desk and Lord, let me just take all them things I've been pondering and put them in an outline form to present to you today. And I'm convinced I preached to you what God wanted Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to hear today. We need revival. We never need to feel like we can make it without Him being here. And if He's going to be here, I don't want Him to be grieved while he's here. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.